Your financial questions answered by the best local business professionals. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in with your questions at 888-205-2263 or send us instant feedback on moneymattersboston.com.
Welcome into the Money Matters Radio Network afternoon edition on your Wednesday, first day of December, streaming live on the web at moneymattersboston.com. 51 degrees outside tonight. Rain continuing on, some patchy fog as well. Tomorrow the sun returns, a little bit cooler, seasonable temps, highs in the mid-40s. June night, along with Linda Camuso and Melissa Glick, they're with Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts, in for Brendan King today. Hey, ladies, how you doing?
Hi,
good,
June.
Good. How you doing, June?
I'm fine. It's so nice to have two other ladies in the room.
Finally.
Yes, because normally it's myself and maybe a guy or a couple of guys, yep, or whatever. So this is great.
Sure.
Thank you for coming in, and thank you.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah,
yes.
You're welcome. Brendan King, who couldn't make it in today. So you guys are sort of substituting in a sense. And speaking of substitutions, I guess we're talking about guardianships today.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. What we, you know, envisioned the discussion being was contrasting, looking at situations where Brendan talks a lot about the estate planning process and different special planning issues that come up, whether it be special needs or asset protection. And what we thought would be interesting to focus on today would be situations where a person gets to a point for some reason, maybe it's old age or some type of an injury or a developmental disability, but situations where people don't have the ability to handle the day-to-day matters of their lives that we all sort of take for granted, whether it be health-related or financial matters, bill paying, that type of thing, and what how that tends to play out in the situations that families find themselves in, and what options there are to plan ahead, and what happens when you don't plan ahead.
Now, you don't, you know, this guardianship thing doesn't just pertain to, say, maybe, you know, an elderly person who's ill. This could be pretty much anybody, right?
Right. Definitely.
It definitely could, June. And, in fact, a lot of the guardianships and conservatorships that we deal with in our practice have to do with minors. A really, you know, somewhat sad example of that would be a minor who has an inherited, you know, benefits from a life insurance policy. You know, sometimes you'll have a 12-year-old that's been, you know, named beneficiary of a now deceased parent's life insurance policy, and now somebody needs to manage that money in the most effective way. And sometimes that's when we're going to get into a situation where we have a minor that actually needs a conservatorship, which,
right,
you know, and just to clarify too, you know, a guardianship is going to give someone, an appointed person, a court appointed person, powers to make medical decisions and things like that for the what is called incapacitated person, whether that be because of dementia in an elderly person or just incapacity can be just being a minor. And a conservatorship is going to be more allow the appointed person, the court-appointed person, again, to make more financial decisions. So with guardianships, we're thinking more medical-related decisions and personal care decisions, and with a conservatorship, we're thinking about financial decisions.
So should we all have one of these guardians or healthcare proxies, maybe, no matter how old we are, how young we are?
Yeah, from a planning perspective, what tends to happen is when someone has done an estate plan, and that, even if it's just a simple will, everyone in that process should sign these two documents, a power of attorney and a healthcare proxy. What a power of attorney does is give someone authority to step in and handle your finances if you were rendered unable to do so yourself. A healthcare proxy gives someone authority over medical-related issues. So if you are in an accident and decisions have to be made, are we doing this surgery, are we administering this medication, and you're not able to make that decision, a healthcare agent under a healthcare proxy would do that. And what happens, and where this tends to come up, is an individual doesn't have those documents and a situation comes up where a decision has to be made, and where we see it in estate planning and elder law practice most commonly is seniors who just through the aging process, maybe a dementia or Alzheimer's situation, and just have reached a point where they can't handle things anymore. If those documents are there, the individuals who are named, and usually it's spouses name each other and then name the kids, if those documents are there, the person steps right in. If there are not those documents, that's where the guardianship and conservatorship have to come into play, where the court has to appoint someone to step in and have that authority. So really, the guardianship and conservatorship is like the alternative when there's no power of attorney and healthcare proxy, and really would... We would typically think of it as the less preferable, sort of the, if we lack what we needed from a planning perspective, now we have to resort to this in order to have the person's affairs be handled.
Okay. So interesting. So as far as the court appointing this person, as far as that goes, is this a difficult process? Is it a long process that we don't want to get to at some point?
It is quite a long process. I mean, it starts with a whole lot of paperwork, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, what happens is you have a petitioner, which is the person who's petitioning the court to be appointed guardian and or conservator, and they file this paperwork to begin with, but there is a waiting period so that other interested parties can be notified. An example would be, say, you have an elderly mother who is now has dementia and has two a son and a daughter, and the son is seeking to be appointed guardian. We need to notify the daughter. You know, it's only fair. So, you know, it's the right thing to do. Make sure everybody's on board, because these things are, once you're appointed guardian or conservator, you know, a guardian and conservator has an immense amount of powers over the incapacitated person. And they file a bunch of paperwork. There's a waiting period where the interested parties get notified, and their doctors get involved. You have to have, you know, medical certificates filled out in the case of an elderly person, not in the case of a minor. And then from that point, you would have a hearing on the matter. Sometimes, not all the time, the court will appoint another attorney to represent the incapacitated person. And in that case, it would draw out the process quite a bit longer.
Hmm. So this is something we want to avoid then.
It is. This is a declaration by a court that the individual is incapacitated, is unable to handle their own affairs. So there are numerous procedural safeguards that are built into the process, because it's a big deal to be put under a guardianship or a conservatorship. A person is having a lot of rights taken away, and it's being done to protect them. But in that process, as we say, you're no longer capable of handling your legal or personal affairs. The court wants to make certain that they're doing what they can do to protect that person. And what that means on the flip side is the family goes through a lot of delays, a lot of expense, and it just takes a lot of time to get this in place. So to be able to have a document, a power of attorney that you can, you know, whip out in lieu of having to go through months and months and thousands of dollars of legal fees would obviously be preferable, so long as you had done the planning in advance, which is the whole point of, you know, educating people about that and why that's just a part of every single estate plan we do.
Okay, once again, they are in for Brendan King today from Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts, Linda Camuso and Melissa Glick. And when we return, we're going to take a quick break, in about a minute or so? Yeah, in about a minute. A lot more to talk about. We're talking about guardianships, durable power of attorney, healthcare proxies. How do we get in touch with you guys if somebody out there wants to make an appointment to come in and talk about these things?
Yeah, the easiest way to get in touch with us is to just give us a call at the office. The number is 508-751-5010. There's several nice ladies who answer the phone. They will make an appointment if people want to speak with us ahead of time, just to discuss a matter. They can do so. They can also reach us on the web at www.estatepreservationlaw.com.
Okay, a lot more when we return on your Wednesday. You're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network.
Telebook presents Quick, Make a Decision Now. We place today's contestant, Bob, a small business owner, in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
Bob, what's the best way to find customers for your business? A, hand out pens with your name on it, or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then make a decision now.
Yellow Book!
Right. Yellow Book can help your customers find you online, on their mobile, or in the book. When your business needs help, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today.
Do you have questions or need help with your current or pending mortgage? Rob Gallagher of Ross Mortgage in Westboro has over 30 years of experience in the retail mortgage industry. Rob and the team at Ross Mortgage have proficient loan officers, processors, and underwriters waiting to assist you. Ross Mortgage is driven by excellence, respect, ethics, and teamwork. Contact Rob at Ross Mortgage by calling 877-811-5508 or visit them at rossmortgageco.com.
They call, send letters, email, and visit your home. They're not friends or family. They're con artists, scammers, and criminals. In times like these, it's important to learn how to protect yourself. Credit card schemes, bogus investment opportunities, and free vacation scams are just a few ways that today's criminals target you and your family. Protect yourself. Never give anyone your social security number, credit card, or bank account information unless you initiated the call. Stay informed of current scams by contacting your Attorney General's office and Better Business Bureau. If you're a victim, reporting the con to the local authorities will prevent others from suffering the same fate. To learn more about how to keep your family safe from con artists and scams, visit ncpc.org. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
This is Joe Mangiacati from MoneyMattersBoston.com with a very important announcement. At age 70 and a half, you were required to start taking money out of your IRA. Many people are confused because in 2009, we were all given a year off from required minimum distributions. It's 2010 now, and you need to know how much to withdraw. The amount you are required to take out of your IRA goes up each year, and your failure to take out required minimum distribution will result in a 50% tax penalty. We are offering a free educational report that shows you year by year how much you have to take out of your IRA. 781-433-0001. How much do you have to take out of an inheritance IRA? 781-433-0001. The rules associated with IRAs and required minimum distributions are complicated. Call now and learn all the rules associated with IRAs and required minimum distributions. 781-433-0001. This free report is available for a limited time. 781-433-0001.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Keep your data safe and easily accessible.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Backup Service is the only data storage solution that combines on-site hardware for rapid restores and cloud-based storage for disaster recovery. At just 50 cents per gigabyte per month and advanced deduplication technology to significantly reduce storage space requirements, the Barracuda Backup Service is the most affordable and efficient data storage solution for any size business. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit barracuda.com.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter.
Welcome back to the Money Matters Radio Network. It is the afternoon edition, 317 with June Knight, and it's 50 degrees outside on the first day of December. Go figure. In studio with me, Linda Camuso, Melissa Glick, there with the State Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts. And they're filling in for Brendan King, who is normally in studio with me every Wednesday at this time. But hey, you know what, ladies, it's all good. You guys can fill in. You can do as good a job as Brendan, right?
That's right. He's on a much needed week off, which
yes.
I know won't even last the week, because he'll pop back into the office and try to sneak in.
Oh, he will.
Yeah.
He's type A, a little bit.
And I know he's listening right now, so I have to give that dig. So
you guys,
he did manage to keep his distance the last couple of days, which is always good.
Oh, okay.
You do.
I'm learning
things
about him now.
Well, you just need that recoup time, you know, especially after a holiday like Thanksgiving. And I'm pretty sure he was hosting his family gathering this year, so he's probably just still decompressing.
Okay. We're talking about guardianships today and how they pertain to estate and financial planning. And I know we were talking about durable power of attorney and healthcare proxies and how these documents actually work in the real world. What else do you guys have on the agenda today? What's next?
You know, we thought it might be helpful to just talk a little bit about situations where a guardianship or a conservatorship will arise, even when there is a power of attorney or a healthcare proxy. You know, clients will come in and sign these documents as part of an estate plan, and we will tell them, you know, don't be a stranger. Come back in and have these documents updated because, believe it or not, they'll go stale. You know, if someone signed a power of attorney 15 years ago and then they fall ill and their child who's named tries to go in and to a bank and have that power of attorney honored so that the son can, you know, access his dad's bank account to pay a bill, for example, the bank may very well say, sorry, our policy is if it's not within 5 years that it's been signed, we don't honor it. Even though the law says that that is not the case, you know, good luck finding some of these, you know, institutional policies.
Mm-hmm.
So, or on the healthcare, on the medical side, a person might be in a situation where they have a healthcare proxy, but they are on a course of antipsychotic medication, which is a very special situation. And that antipsychotic medication has a certain connotation, but basically we're just talking about any type of drug that's classified to be in a certain class of personality altering. It could even be, you know, for depression or similar type of issues.
Mm-hmm.
But if the individual, and I'll use a case of an elderly person, refuses the medication, the facility, say it's a hospital or a nursing home, will deem that to be them refusing the healthcare proxy as well. So if the healthcare agent wanted to come in and say, no, mom has dementia, I'm going to authorize these drugs to be given, the hospital would by law have to say, no, it's an antipsychotic drug, mm-hmm. and there's certain safeguards built into the law, one of which is that that can't be, those types of medications cannot be given to you against your will, even if you're not in the right frame of mind. Now, what's tricky about that is, you know, mom might not be refusing her drugs because she, on the principle of, I don't want this antipsychotic mind-altering drug, she might just be combative, you
mm-hmm.
know. She might have just, you know, she has some type of an infection and she's confused and she just came out of surgery and she's saying, no, I don't want. And now suddenly you find yourself, despite the fact that you've done the planning and you have a healthcare proxy, you have to go into court now and get this guardianship because the facility tells you to, which is very frustrating for families because they'll say, you know, what gives? I planned, we did all the right things. So sometimes these situations come up where even with planning, you still might find yourself in court having to go to that next level.
Right. Okay, let's take a quick break. It is time now for the Bloomberg Business Update.
This is a Bloomberg Business Week Update. I'm Carol Masser. Stars in your eyes don't necessarily translate to jobs on your books or dollars in the till. That's what many states are finding when it comes to providing incentives for Hollywood TV and filmmakers. Generous subsidies can cost taxpayers more than the economic activity they generate. Tom Maroney wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek, focusing on Michigan, which has the most generous film subsidies in the U.S.
There's a real serious debate here between what is generated and what is not. The bean counters will tell you, looking at the books, that the money that's going out, this year Michigan estimates about $125 million will go out the door, and that they'll generate only about $80 million in economic activity. Now, that's clearly a loss.
Many cash-strapped states are withdrawing and repealing their film production subsidies. For more on this story, go to businessweek.com. I'm Carol Masser.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Does a rolling stone gather no moss? No moss. You're going to have to trust me on this one.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
I need a printer cartridge, but I don't want to pay a lot.
Well, you're in luck. We guarantee low prices on our ink. So if you find it for less than another store, we'll match it.
What if I find my ink for a dollar?
Well, we'd match it.
How about for a quarter?
We'd match that too.
How about pocket lint? What if I get it for that?
Absolutely.
Really?
No.
At Staples, your ink is always in stock and always at low prices. Guaranteed. And if you find it for less, we'll match it. Staples. That was easy. Price guarantee available within 14 days of Staples purchase. Excludes outlets and clearance. See staples.com for details.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best. It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
Welcome back to the Money Matters Radio Network. It is Wednesday, middle of the week, and 3/24 and June night, along with Linda Camuso and Melissa Glick of Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts. In for Brendan King today, we're talking about guardianships, healthcare proxies, how these documents work in the real world, and how they become a factor in estate planning, of course, and financial planning. So, what do we do if we're interested in getting, signing up for, one of these guardianships, healthcare proxies? You know, somebody out there listening right now, take us through the steps, if you will, on how we go about doing this. Maybe this is the first time we've heard about this and we're listening into the show today.
Yeah, I'll touch a little bit on the planning side and let Melissa talk a little about the how a guardianship would start out. But on the planning side, the typical scenario is a client will come in, and usually they're thinking, I need to do a will, I need to do a trust, I need to do some type of, seldom does a client come in saying, I really need a healthcare proxy. They're really focused more on the traditional estate planning issues, like who's gonna inherit my assets when I pass away, and how do I minimize taxes, and how do I avoid probate. And a lot of times these two documents, the healthcare proxy and the power of attorney, just sort of get, just shoved into the pile and they're signing it. Yeah, okay, I want to name my son, I want to name my daughter. But these are the two documents that are going to affect people the most while they're living. Of course, you want your will to do what you want it to do. You want your stuff to go where you want it to go when you're gone. But if you are living and you get into an accident and you have a brain injury, or you suffer a stroke, or you just, through the aging process, begin to have diminished cognitive abilities, this is what's going to really matter during your life for purposes of preserving your autonomy and having your wishes carried out, to have you cared for in the way that you would want, have your finances managed the way you would want, have healthcare decisions being made in the way that you would want them made. How do you feel about end of life issues? Are you someone who would want to be kept on life support? I mean, these are all the parts of the plan that sort of get glossed over, but that, when it comes down to it and you ask people, they'll say, yeah, those are real concerns that I have. So they would get done as part of a traditional estate plan. And what I would say is that anyone out there who doesn't have these, they're just so critical to have. And we think of them more in terms of, elderly clients and that, but even younger clients who have accidents, who, like I said, you find yourself in a car accident with a brain injury, if you have this in place, that's the person who's going to be taking care of you and making your decisions. If you don't, now we're in court, and now we're, it's a whole new world, and it's a whole new set of challenges, and I'll let Melissa speak to that.
Yeah, June, getting back to money, too, having a healthcare proxy and or a power of attorney drawn up by an attorney is going to cost you a third of what it would to be appointed a guardian and conservator, mm-hmm. or conservator. You know, I think we were talking about what are the most common scenarios when, you know, we would have a client come into the office and either need A, to be appointed guardian, or B, conservator, or both. And I think the most common situation that we see somebody needing to be appointed guardian is probably where the nursing home has sort of initiated the process because of the need to administer antipsychotic drugs, which, you know, Linda mentioned before, can even just be an antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do it without court authority. And so the nursing home will contact, you know, the next of kin that's most, you know, most involved with the person's life. And that next of kin will come to us and say, you know, the nursing home spoke with me. They need to administer this drug. You know, my aunt, my mother, my cousin, you know, is refusing the drug. And that's a very common situation where we would have a guardianship come up. And as far as, you know, conservatorships are concerned, you know, those often come up, they can come up where somebody's, say, in assisted living and they've run out of money in their bank accounts to pay for their care and they're incapacitated, but now their house needs to be sold in order to pay for their care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll need to give somebody the authority to go ahead and sell that house, which is in their name alone. So at that point, you're looking at a conservatorship situation.
Okay. And we'll continue on with this conversation in a few minutes. Time to take a quick break. 50 degrees on your Wednesday, 329. We'll be back. This is the Money Matters Radio Network.
Before I started working as a soil scientist.
Before I became a systems engineer.
I found out science is cool.
I did my first lab experiment.
In 4-H.
In 4-H.
You never know when a spark will ignite the imagination. That's why 4-H is fostering 1 million new scientists and engineers for America's future workforce. With the help of companies and universities around the country.
1 million new scientists. 1 million new ideas.
Learn more at 4-H.org.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Keep your data safe and easily accessible.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Backup Service is the only data storage solution that combines on-site hardware for rapid restores and cloud-based storage for disaster recovery. At just 50 cents per gigabyte per month and advanced deduplication technology to significantly reduce storage space requirements, the Barracuda Backup Service is the most affordable and efficient data storage solution for any size business. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
Hey, Mom, can we go rollerblading?
Oh, not tonight, sweetie. Maybe another night.
Mom, parents who spend time with their kids in their younger years have a better chance of being close to their kids in those difficult teen years. I'm 12 right now. When I turn 13, I'll become a whole different person. I'll be a roller coaster of emotions. But how are you going to deal with that if we're not close?
Get your blades, honey.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
This is Barry Armstrong with a very important message regarding your Social Security check. Many of us rely on Social Security to provide us with a base of consistent income while retired. But did you know that you could very well have to pay taxes on that monthly Social Security check? As much as 85% of your Social Security can be taxed, and the tax rate on that income could be as high as 35%. Our team can help you plan ahead and avoid or minimize the taxation of your Social Security. Call now for a free report that will teach you how to minimize the taxation of your Social Security. 781-433-0001. Why should you pay more taxes than you have to? 781-433-0001. Get the most out of your Social Security benefit. 781-433-0001.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated, Barry Armstrong Representative, Armstrong Advisory Group, and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated. Representatives of Security America did not offer tax advice.
Somewhere in America, David Ortega is waiting at a busy airport. Kim Healy is waiting in traffic. And a whole country is waiting for a better way to travel. Siemens high-speed trains. They go 220 miles an hour with less carbon emissions. And we could build them right here. Fast answers bring people together. and the over 60,000 U.S. employees of Siemens have more answers every day. Siemens. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
Those other guys putting you to sleep? Your energy boost is right here on Boston's best source for financial news and information, the Money Matters Radio Network.
We're back into the Money Matters Radio Network, 333, and it's December 1st, believe it or not. I am with Melissa Glick. She is with the State Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts, in for Brendan King today. We're talking about guardianships. And can you believe it's December 1st?
I can't, June. I can't. And this weather is absolutely beautiful, and it makes me think I have a much longer time to do my Christmas shopping, and I just don't.
It does. It's very deceiving.
It is.
You know, we're not quite into the shoveling mode. It is a little bit early for that anyway, so, you know, I must
say. It is. It is. I like to have snow on Christmas, you know, for sure, but...
Then after that...
I'm done.
Yeah. We're done with it.
Unless I don't have to leave the house that day. It's pretty from inside.
It is. Yeah, if you don't have to go out and shovel it out and drive somewhere and maybe go to work. That week between Christmas and New Year's, if you don't have to go to work, because we usually get a ton of snow that week.
Yes.
No matter what.
Yes.
So, yeah, the first day of December, oh, my goodness, and it's 50 degrees. Just a matter of time, I know, before it drops back down and seasonable again. I think tomorrow it's back in the 40s. So enjoy it while you can. Once again, we're talking about guardianships as they pertain to estate planning and financial planning. So, Melissa, tell us about the different types of guardianships out there, because I know that there's not just one where you're totally locked in, right?
There is. And, you know, as far as the way we were speaking before, you know, it made it seem like we were kind of speaking more about what we call general guardians or general conservators. Mm-hmm. And those are people on the guardianship side who have complete control over that other person. You know, and on the, you know, as far as medical decision making and things like that. And with conservatorships, it means they have complete control over the person's finances, complete control. They can, you know, access their checking accounts. They can, you know, write checks for them as conservator. They have a multitude of powers. There are some powers that a guardian and or conservator would not have. For example, a conservator, or someone who's been appointed, you know, to manage another person's finances, could not create a revocable trust of property.
Mm-hmm.
And in which case, even if you've already been appointed conservator and now you want to create a revocable trust of property for the incapacitated person that you care for, now you're going to have to actually go through the same process over and expand your conservatorship powers through the court and have the court give you specific permission to do that revocable trust. So sometimes when clients come in, they do need a general guardian or a general conservator. A good example of that particular client might be a son or a daughter who has a parent that is completely, that has suffers from advanced dementia or is just really unable to manage anything for themselves, whether it be personal hygiene or their checking account. And that's when you're looking at a general guardianship or general conservatorship situation. But sometimes you come across a client that only needs, you know, authorization to do one specific thing. We were talking about substituted decision making and administration of antipsychotic medications.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a guardianship put in place over someone to just that only gives the guardian power to make medical treatment decisions and no other decisions for that incapacitated person.
Okay.
You could get a conservatorship that only allows you to sell property but doesn't give you access to a checking account. So there's a lot to the forms that you do need to fill out in order to get these things put into place.
Who makes the decision that a person needs a guardianship?
Well, oftentimes, as Linda had touched on earlier in the show, it, you know, in the case of an elder, it's often an assisted living facility or nursing home.
Okay.
And as I said, they would often get in touch with a family member who's involved and speak to them about potentially, you know, petitioning to be appointed. Otherwise, it's the person who goes and tries to do something for the incapacitated person
mm-hmm.
that and is denied. You know, for example, it's a wife whose husband now has dementia, and he had a checking account solely in his name, and she wants to go and take money out, and she can't.
Okay.
So that would be a common situation where it would come up individually rather than from an institution.
Right. Okay. Good to know, because that happens.
It happens a lot.
Frequently, I'm sure.
It does.
And then the person thinks, well, what do I do?
Yeah,
where do
sure.
I go from here?
Sure. And a lot of people ask, well, who should be appointed?
Right.
And you know, who's the best person to serve? And, you know, oftentimes it ends up being a spouse. You know, with the case of, I'd have to say we see more guardianships and conservatorships of elderly, you know, persons than we do minors. But, you know, within the case of a minor, it's often, going to be the parent, or a very close relative if the parents are, for, you know, whatever reason, not in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of an elder, usually it's a spouse if the spouse is living. But if not, generally you're looking at a child. And if not a child, maybe a niece or a nephew, close family member.
Are there any squabbles between family members on these appointments? I'm sure you must see something along those lines.
We do. But, you know, it's actually quite involved to serve as guardian or conservator. And that is usually the squabble.
They're not fighting about it.
Well, yeah. It's more, instead of being, oh, I want it to be me, I want it to be me.
Right,
it's
right.
I want it to be you, I want it to be you, you know. There's a lot of responsibility, you know, especially when you're talking about a general guardian or a general conservator.
Okay. And I guess there were some recent changes to the guardianship conservatorship laws in Massachusetts?
There have been. And, probably the most significant turn, there's been loads of minute changes, but probably the most significant change is that now the court is very, very concerned with these general guardianships and these general conservatorships. Mm. They're really wanting to see only the amount of power over another person that really needs to be there. So they're really looking for people to be appointed what we call a limited guardian or a limited conservator, which is those situations I described to you that may be for like one single transaction or one single type of transaction, like we had talked about medical treatment decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So the court does want to see less power put over people. They want people to retain rights. And in fact, even now, when you apply for a guardianship or a conservatorship, you know, in your petition, they like to see that you're, you know, maybe if you're talking about a conservator, rather than taking all of the financial decisions away from that person, mm-hmm. a lot of times I'll put in the petition that they're still able to have a certain amount of cash per week to spend,
okay.
like, you know, at the nursing home to get their hair cut or, you know, buy Raisinets or whatever makes them happy.
Haven't heard about those in a while. Raisinets. That's
Raisinets
great.
Are great.
That's stuff you get at the movie theater.
Yeah.
They still have those
big
there,
box.
Right?
Yeah.
How much was it? Like $8 for a box of Raisinets now or something?
Yeah. I think you have to go to the store first and stuff them in your purse, but.
Yeah. Okay. What else do we need to know about guardianships?
Well.
That we haven't covered. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. I know there's a lot to go over.
There sure is. And I think as far as, you know, we did touch on the process itself, which is, you know, I think important for people to know that it's a long process. So this is not something that you want to wait until the last minute to do.
No.
As, you know, you're talking about 2 months. So, you know, if you're talking about a situation where property needs to be sold in order to pay for somebody's care,
right.
you want to get into this as soon as possible.
Okay, so once again, let's give out your contact info. Melissa Glick, she's with the State Preservation Law Offices. How do we get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me or Brennan or Linda by just calling the office. Our telephone number there is 508-751-5010. And we all have email addresses on our website, which is at estatepreservationlaw.com.
Okay. Are these guardianships ever seen as a negative thing?
They are. And that mainly ties into this new change in the law that we were talking about before with the court wanting to see more limited guardianships and less general guardianships. A lot of people are very disturbed by the amount of power a guardian or conservator has over the incapacitated person's property.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we talked about family feuds. You know, sometimes people get concerned that their sibling or their cousin has control over a relative's finances and, you know, that they don't know what's going on. After the next break, we're going to talk about some of the duties of guardians and conservators. I'd like to touch on that because that will tie into accountability to other family members.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so the responsibilities themselves, it's almost like a family tree, if you would. It kind of branches out.
Yes, it does. And everybody has notification at the very least and the opportunity to object at every you know, juncture of the proceeding.
Really?
The whole purpose of getting notice is so, you know, you can tell other family members that aren't being appointed what is going on and that they have the opportunity to object and to come into court and state why.
Okay. And when we return from the break, we will do just that. Studio lines, by the way, 888-205-2263. If you'd like to ask Melissa a question, we'll be back on your Wednesday. You're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network.
Radio. It's only a little box with a cord and some knobs that tells us stories and sings us songs and gives us the score and warns of the storm. It's only a little box with a cord and some knobs that makes us wonder and cheer, kiss and cry, and sometimes dance and sometimes fight. It's only a little box filled with sockets and circuits that sits on the counter, that drives in a car, that flies to the sky, that hangs in the bar and asks who we are and what do we think and who do we love and why do we hate. It's only a little box with a cord and some knobs. To see all of the wondrous things about radio, go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Brought to you by the radio industry and this station to remind you that radio is heard here, radio is heard everywhere.
This is Barry Armstrong from the Armstrong Advisory Group. Did you know that there are 6 distinct strategies to getting more money out of your Social Security? One method to get more is to collect twice. Dual earning couples can collect first as a spouse and then again later based on their own working record. For example, a woman could collect her spousal benefits at age 66 and then she could claim again at age 70 based on her own working record. High earning couples benefit the most from this strategy according to the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. We have a free report that will teach you 5 more methods of getting more out of Social Security. 781-433-0001. That phone number is 781-433-0001. Get all that you're entitled to from Social Security. 781-433-0001.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated, Barry Armstrong representative, Armstrong Advisory Group, and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated.
As internet technology advances, so does the threat of cybercrime. In times like these, we must protect ourselves from cybercrime. Antivirus software, firewalls, and security patches are just the beginning. Never open suspicious emails and only navigate to trusted sites. Protect your child by installing parental control software and monitoring their computer use. To learn more about cybercrime, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Build your better breakfast at Subway with the new 250 breakfast combo. Get a Western egg white muffin melt with 4 grams of fat, fresh toasted and made to your order. Add a 16-ounce cup of freshly brewed Seattle's Best Coffee, all for only $2.50. Try the new Subway 250 breakfast combo today. Subway, eat fresh.
For a limited time only at participating restaurants. May not be combined with coupon offers or discount cards, plus tax where applicable. Fat content refers to Western egg white muffin melt prepared according to standard recipe.
Log on to MoneyMattersBoston.com to find a Money Matters Radio Network affiliate near you.
Welcome back to the Money Matters Radio Network. Tonight, it's the afternoon edition. It's 3:47 on your Wednesday in studio with Melissa Glick of Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts. She's in for Brendan King today. We're talking about guardianships, different types of guardianships. And I know before the break you teased us with, okay, so you've been appointed a guardian
And now other family members come into play, maybe kind of like a big tree, if you will. Explain to us, how this works and what's involved.
So we were talking about people fighting over not petitioning to be guardian and conservator, and here's why. Once you're appointed guardian, you do have the responsibility of reporting to the court on an annual basis. So actually, the way the law is written right now, upon being appointed guardian, 60 days after your appointment, you have to file something called a guardian care plan with the court.
Okay.
And it's a long document that really has to do with how do you intend to take care of this person? How do you intend to make their life better? You know, sometimes how do you intend to promote, them making, independent decisions?
So you have to fill something out, a questionnaire or some kind of a lengthy.
It's a lengthy court form, that you can see actually on whatever county you live in the incapacitated person lives in, whatever county they're in, that probate court's website, or I think it's right on the Massachusetts probate court website. You can actually pull down these forms. There's instructions, but sometimes people have attorneys do the guardian care plan for them. Sometimes they do it themselves.
Okay.
And then on the flip side too, with a conservatorship, when you are appointed, 90 days after being appointed, you have to file an accounting. And that accounting is, your relatives can go in and see it. So people worry, my brother is now my mother's conservator. How do I know what he's doing with her finances? So rest assured, there is some accountability. And that's one of the positives to a guardianship or conservatorship is those guardians and conservators are required each year to file a document with the court, so that the court can monitor what's going on. And talking about different guardianships and different conservatorships, if the court suspects, foul play, so to speak, with a guardianship or a conservatorship, they have multiple ways that they can deal with that. They can remove a guardian. They can force a guardian or conservator to go to classes. They can appoint a special conservator or a special guardian to take the place of the guardian until that person kind of learns the ropes and starts taking care of things the way that they should be.
Okay.
So that kind of ties into the discussion we were having before about the different types of guardianships and conservatorships.
Does this happen often that this goes down the wrong road or maybe with the wrong person?
No, and I think I really think it's the attorney's duty to really look into the person who you're seeking, because as attorneys, unless you're a GAL, which is a guardian ad litem, which is the attorney we were talking about before, that person, a GAL or guardian ad litem, is appointed by the court to represent the incapacitated person's best interests.
Uh-huh.
But usually the petitioner is represented by an attorney. The petitioner is the person who's seeking to be appointed.
Mm-hmm.
So that, whoever that attorney is, I think, in my opinion, really has an ethical obligation to make sure that that the person that they're seeking to get appointed really does have the incapacitated person's best interest in mind.
And that this is the right person.
The right person.
Yeah.
So I like to, you can actually file assents from other family members when you go into court with your petitioner and you're seeking to have them appointed. I like to give the court assents, saying, yeah, all the other family members agree to this. It's all agreed.
Or all the other family members don't agree to it.
Sure.
Maybe that's a red flag.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, if you've got 15 people saying no, something's wrong.
I like to find out ahead of time. Yes, before the court knows.
I would think so. It makes things just a little bit easier.
Sure
avoid
does.
All kinds of problems that could pop up in the future as well.
It does.
Okay, time for another break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Let's go to the Bloomberg Business Update.
This is the Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Karen Moscow. Housing prices are not going to rise anytime soon. That's the view of Carl Case, co-creator of the S&P Case-Shiller Index of Property Values.
It's going to be flat for a while because the background numbers, you've heard me say this before, the demographics are not good. We're not building any housing, but the vacancy rate is going up. That means the household formations have to be down. And I don't have a clue how far they're are down, but they're not what we expected.
The S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index showed prices in 20 U.S. cities climbed 0.6% in September from the same month a year ago. That was the smallest gain since January. The end of a government tax credit and unemployment near 10% have led to a decrease in demand. 15 of the 20 cities in the index showed a year-over-year decline, led by a 5.6% drop in Chicago. That's the Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Karen Moscow.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Got 2 miles to go, John. Why are you smiling?
Oh, you'll like this. I just changed my Medicare.
Open enrollment?
Yep. I compared plans and found coverage that's better for me.
Did you see the new benefits we get from the new healthcare law?
What?
Like, well, 50% off brand name prescriptions for anyone in the donut hole.
Really?
Come on, John. You got to keep up.
Open enrollment is November 15th to December 31st. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
You don't have to fight traffic or the crowds.
Back off, it's mine!
To get great PCs for your business fast. Dell's most popular business systems can be delivered free in about 48 hours at Dell.com/getfast. Work the way you want by ordering a PC with Windows 7 Professional pre-installed. And order a Dell Fast Track PC with Windows 7 Professional before December 1st to get a Logitech wireless keyboard and mouse no charge. See details at Dell.com/getfast for offers and restrictions.
Boston's fastest growing financial news station, the Money Matters Radio Network. Visit us on the web at moneymattersboston.com.
You found us and we're back in the afternoon edition of Money Matters Radio Network tonight, along with Melissa Glick filling in for Brendan King today from the State Preservation Law offices out in Worcester, Massachusetts. Today's theme, you got it, guardianships. This is a very important topic. Research it. Listen, get educated. A lot of really interesting information. A lot of people walking around thinking, I don't need one of those until I turn 80 and I get ill and, you know, I can't write checks anymore and I'm in the home or whatever. But no.
No.
It's not true. A lot of people might be needing these.
Oh, sure, sure. And it goes back to what Linda said. I mean, it's great to do a will. It's great to do a trust. You can avoid, you know, estate taxes to some degree. You can, you know, if that's the case, you can have your assets go where you want them to go. But, you know, I think one of the most important things to people should be these power of attorneys and healthcare proxies. You know, they, from a financial standpoint, they save you a lot of money so that you don't have to, as long as you keep up with them, because Linda did explain earlier that, you know, in a bank, from a bank's perspective, you know, a power of attorney could, you know, quote, expire to them. They don't like to see them being more than a few years old. But I think those documents are extremely important because they're going to save you a lot of money, and as long as they're updated and keep you from having to do these guardianships and conservatorships. And I think that's, you know, really important. And you don't, for some people, their healthcare proxy can come into play when they're 50 years old and suffer a massive heart attack.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to ask you, too. When are these guardianships unavoidable? Completely unavoidable.
You know, we see, you know, the answer to that is when there's no healthcare proxy or power of attorney. With a healthcare proxy, you see it less. And the reason for that is because if somebody needs medical decisions made for them and there's no healthcare proxy in place, doctors often feel comfortable going to the next of kin. So you don't have a problem there as much. But with a power of attorney, you're gonna run into a problem because the bank is just, you know, not going, you know, if you don't have a power of attorney in place and you have a bank account that's solely in your name, the bank's just not going to go to the next of kin.
Right.
So it's they're a little more strict than the doctors are on the medical treatment side.
Hmm.
So we do often see these more where there's the unavoidable situation where there's no power of attorney and there's assets tied up in individually owned bank accounts or individually owned property, real property.
Okay. Once again, it's Melissa Glick out of Worcester, Massachusetts, estate preservation law offices. We've got probably about 3 minutes left. What else would you like to touch upon before we wrap up the show?
I thought, too, in case anybody out there, you know, that's listening actually is a guardian or conservator or thinks that they are, you know, I thought it was important, you know, we're using all these terms without maybe having defined them the way I probably should have earlier in the show, but you know, it used to be one of the, we talked about changes in the law, and it used to be that a person could be appointed guardian of the person and guardian of the estate.
Right.
So now, the way the law is now, guardian of the person equates to guardian. A guardian of the estate equates to conservator. So really what they're doing is they're using new names. You know, under the old law, you're what I'm referring to as an incapacitated person, mm-hmm. actually was referred to as a ward under the old law. And those laws just changed last year. And you know, actually it's, there's always new changes in these laws. They're trying to make it, easier to go through the process of getting appointed. You know, for example, they actually just made, we talked about a medical certificate needing to be done, if you're trying to get a guardianship over, you know, an elderly person that has dementia or something like that. And because the process is so long and the medical certificates expire within 30 days in the court's eyes, you're having to get multiple medical certificates, which means you're having to take this person to the doctor multiple times, mm-hmm. paying multiple copays, you know, and going through the unfortunately, the incapacitated person is going through the stress of having to see the doctor.
Yeah.
So now they've actually come up with a medical affidavit, which is a much shorter form for the medical certificate. So that just went into place November 16th.
Wow.
And, yeah, so.
A lot of changes.
There are. They're trying to make it easier, but I still got to recommend that healthcare proxy and power of attorney, June.
Okay. Melissa Glick, Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts, filling in for Brendan King today. Phone number and website one more time.
Phone number 508-751-5010, and you can also visit us at estatepreservationlaw.com.
All right. Hey, thanks for filling in, and please come back soon. You did a fabulous job.
Oh, thank you, June.
Okay, and have a great week.
You too.
We'll be back tomorrow with the afternoon edition of the Money Matters Radio Network.
This is the Money Matters Radio Network, WBNW 1120 AM Concord, Boston, WPLM 1390 AM Plymouth, and WESO 970 AM Southbridge. It's Mind Your Own Business, Sundays at 9. The Money Matters Radio Network.
This is Barry Armstrong with a very important message regarding your Social Security check. Many of us rely on Social Security to provide us with a base of consistent income while retired. But did you know that you could very well have to pay taxes on that monthly Social Security check? As much as 85% of your Social Security can be taxed, and the tax rate on that income could be as high.